Hello and welcome back to episode 4, I think, of the Two Substitutes. New season, season 5, episode 3. I'm writing this down now. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Akshay.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Nice, nice. Pretty hot today here in Virginia.
Yeah, it is pretty hot weather-wise. Yeah. Footballing-wise, I'm doing good because Arsenal is not involved, so just better to not to go into that depressive and depressing environment where you,
yeah,
you feel sad to see your team play. So with the break, I'm very happy.
With the break, yes, I was not happy over the weekend. I think it's just takes your mind off other things, having some good football. So I followed some English games, but not much fun otherwise.
Yeah, international games are tough watch, I guess, like, because you don't have any motivation to watch them, and
yeah,
it's like if it's on, you might watch it, but there's really like no motivation. It's just like,
yeah, it's unless you follow a particular country or you are a member of that country, it's,
yeah,
and you have been following them since your early ages, it's hard to, like, because so many different players come together. Unless, so if you follow Barcelona and then Spanish team of that side were mainly all Barcelona players, maybe,
yeah,
so you could have had some overlap between those two fans. Otherwise, and that's why I guess most of us non English citizens follow England also, because they have so many players that play in the Premier League. So
yeah, it's
easy to follow them, I guess.
Right, and then you can keep track of how your club's players are doing.
Yeah,
for their country. But even with that, it's a drag to to watch international games. Tournaments are fun. I think tournaments.
Yeah, tournaments enjoy Euros.
Right.
Copa America.
But yeah, this, the qualifiers and games during the international breaks are not fun to watch.
Yeah, but before we go into, I think we should review last week's Premier League games. But before that, there was one big event in the international games that Ronaldo overtook the Iranian players' goal scoring record internationally. I should say, do you remember the name of the Iran player?
No. I read the name but could not remember, or I don't remember it now.
Okay. I feel like I should give him a mention. Oh, yeah, Iran's Ali Dei. So, yeah, Ronaldo beat his record. He has 111 international goals now. We knew this was going to happen. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Manchester United fans will be in frenzy right now.
Yes.
To see Ronaldo playing and scoring goals with his header. And you can only imagine what he can do in the Premier League with his heading prowess,
yep,
especially.
And guys, we know that he has also been involved in many controversies, very serious ones also. And we don't know what to do about that. We should just focus on football.
Yeah.
I know it's not a laughing matter or take something that should be taken lightly, but yeah, there are many footballers that have that sort of stuff hanging above their head, and what can you do? We can only talk about football.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we should stick to football, and
yeah,
on the pitch he has been delivering, and
yeah,
the record just speaks for itself. I think for Portugal, he has been their instrumental player,
yes,
for so many years, and having this landmark of being highest goal scorer internationally.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we knew this was going to happen. Doesn't mean we support him or something, but yeah, this is a big achievement, any player. I think one of India's strikers is also in the top 10 list, Sunil Chhetri, I think.
Yeah.
He has quite a few goals, so I feel proud about that. I think I told you, right, one of my dream is that India qualifies for the World Cup before I die. Please. Who knows when that will happen? Imagine, man, if that happens.
Yeah, that
just qualifying.
be over the moon. Even if, like, yeah, we qualify, I think that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, playing against big teams.
Country.
would definitely go to watch those games.
Yeah.
Okay, then now that's out of the way. Any other news, if you can remember, from the international games, World Cup qualifiers?
I think the main one for me was the Brazil-Argentina game.
Oh, yeah. Got cancelled while they were playing.
Yeah, it's funny because the officials, they would have known beforehand, like before signing the game itself, they would have taken the action, but to let the game start and then interrupt it in between seemed like...
it was weird.
They wanted to be in the limelight, or like, you know, it creates news or makes them feel more important, or like what they can do.
So yeah,
like there might be some politics behind the scenes around that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just funny to see a game called off for that reason.
Yeah, it was. I think Messi was angry. He said something. Yeah, that was weird.
And also, it was a big game, right? It was not like...
Yeah, it's a World Cup qualifier.
Right, and both countries are pretty big on the international stage. And to call that game off for this reason was definitely like a big step.
And another thing I read today was that Brazilian FA or something are requesting FIFA or something to ban Brazilian players in Premier League for 5 games, I think.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah, I read that news as well, and it will be a very,
which is a very strange rule
for a few clubs.
I can't imagine Premier League would... like. They would certainly oppose this, right? They would have to, like, this will affect them a lot, especially Liverpool, who have Firmino, Alisson, and Fabinho.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure how they're going to handle it, but it'll be a big... It'll have a big effect on clubs who have players who represented Brazil.
Another strange thing was Thiago Silva wanted to go, but he wasn't allowed to go by Brazilian FA. And now, so because of this rule, he'll not play in Premier League. Why? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And I also read that Richarlison may not be...
Oh, because they're in good standing.
Yeah, I was surprised. It's like, why? Like, what's the good standing?
This is like, you know, some teachers in school who have this favorable attitude towards this. Richarlison is like the front bencher in the class. Oh, yeah, you do well. You pay attention to what I say. Good marks.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll not be punished.
Yeah. Other teams are backbenchers. All right. So what we should do is, I guess, review the games that happened 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
See if you can remember.
Long time. Also, like, if you want to remember, that's the question for me.
I understand. I guess we can start with the big game with a lot of controversy also.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Anthony Taylor. Liverpool against Chelsea.
The handball decision.
Yeah. So I have had time to think about it also since then. And of course, yeah, based on rules, he should have been red carded or what, and sent off, and what? Yeah, and penalty.
Yeah.
Given penalty as well, but it still seemed very harsh to me. It just destroyed the whole game for me. I think for many fans also, even Liverpool fans, I think they were hoping that, they were saying that Liverpool would play better against 11 men.
Mm-hmm.
The game would be more open, and it felt like a good game until that red card. And then it was just like one team attacking, other team trying to defend.
Yeah, I think refereeing consistency has always been the issue, but it has more so evident in the last few seasons.
Yeah.
Like before, since there was no technology, you would just give benefit of doubt to the referee. But now with the technology, and it seemed like they are not using it in the right manner.
Even with that, we have to say, right, you read this article about who's this retired Premier League referee who was saying that there was some bias Howard towards Webb. United.
I think it was Howard Webb.
Yeah, didn't he say that there was a... Yeah. So, this has existed before also, but even in this game, did you see the game?
I didn't see the game, I watched the highlights.
Okay, and, yeah. So
yeah, the decision itself... the rules are...
Even, I know, the ball went from his body to his hand, even though his motion seemed like he was touching the ball, but it went from his leg, I think, to his hand, and he has this tendency, his like body, even when receiving long passes, if you watch Reece James, he looks like he is touching his hand. So he has.
Yeah, I think the replays also, they make it look different, yeah, like the same incident if you watch it in real time versus if you watch the replay of it. With replay, everything seems intentional, like,
yeah,
it
exactly
seems like and he's deliberately putting, yeah, his hands.
And another bad thing was that he didn't even watch the full replay, he just saw a frame. If you saw, yeah, the replay, it was in highlights also, I think. He just went, there was a screenshot, he saw that and came back.
Right, yeah, he only wanted to make sure, like, what exactly happened, or did he hit
that? Yeah, but that's not, yeah, yeah, put it in context. Even if you have, you would have the same decision after seeing all of that, but at least watch the full thing, right?
Yeah,
that really messed up my whole day. Even though I was proud of our defense, I think we did really well.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't give them much of a chance. So at least this one point could turn out to be a big point in the end. Who knows?
Yeah, with 10 men. Yeah, the title this year might be decided by these games.
Yeah,
with
these
top
sort of
four
games.
Teams playing against each other, and
yeah,
the draw, I think, is definitely a much better result for Chelsea than Liverpool, because with against 10 men, you would expect them to,
yeah,
beat the team at home. Even though, like, you know, Chelsea are European champions, and
yeah,
but just like when you're down to 10 men, another like opponent has a big advantage over,
yeah,
you, and Liverpool will feel like they lost the game, basically, even though they got the point. So I think for Chelsea fans, it's pretty good result,
yeah,
I would say, considering the circumstances.
That's the bad worst thing, is like even we felt like we lost the game, because we, when we took the lead based like on how our defense performs, like you would have thought that we would still have given them a lot of problems and,
yeah,
like not conceded a goal after taking the lead. So it could have, yeah, that basically, yeah, the game was ruined. There was no football in the second,
yeah,
half. But yeah, that was at least the first 45 minutes were a good watch. Both teams took a point, and surprisingly now, I hate to say this, but Spurs are top of the league. Yeah, that happened.
Another 1-0 win for Spurs.
Another 1-0 win.
Yeah, somehow they're getting results, even though, I mean, they're not firing on all cylinders, but they're getting the job done, and with Nuno
Heung-min Son.
Their manager, it seemed to be going in the right direction. They had all of the drama with Harry Kane to deal with, and
yeah,
they came out of it with 3 wins in a row, 3 clean sheets as well. And
did you see that goal? Heung-min Son's goalkeeper basically was caught blindsided. I think Son took a free kick, it just went over the wall and threw the goalkeeper into the goal. You know, those goals,
yeah,
and goalkeeper is blocked by his yeah, vision is blocked by the defensive wall. So yeah, that was weird. So Tottenham lead the table, good for them. West Ham are still second, another high scoring team. They have the highest number of goals alongside Manchester City in the league, 10 goals.
Wow.
Antonio, fantasy legend, has been scoring for fun.
I need to get him in the team now. He's scoring every week. Only thing for him is like his fitness. Like,
yeah, he can get injured anytime, but he just scored so many, he gives you so many points, until then it's a risk to not put him in your team.
Right.
And we talked about it, I think, the last time we recorded also, that how his progression was like from right back to right wing to
and
striker.
Forward, yeah.
So good for him. And I like Antonio, he's a good character.
I think he's a brute force kind of a player.
Yeah.
Like you say, like sometimes like players have that force of nature where things just happen for them, or they can make things happen with their build and body. So he's one of them, and he's a nightmare for defenders to deal with.
Yeah, and he has pace also, and he has composure. Like he finds assist also. He got an assist in that game also. Who did West Ham play? West Ham were playing Crystal Palace. 2-2 draw. Oh, that game I remember was also good because Chelsea Looney, he scored two good goals. Conor Gallagher, the best academy in the world. Come on. I think at this point, it's hard to argue against it. So, Antonio got an assist and a goal and Gallagher scored two goals. Was an interesting game end to end. No, don't expect this from Crystal Palace, but yeah. A good game. Alright, we can come back to now your team. Arsenal played against Manchester City.
Wow.
So yeah, the guy who's famous for getting sent off got sent off again. Granit Xhaka. There's a weird stat, right? Like under Arteta, Arsenal have a lot of red cards.
Yeah, the discipline has not been great under Arteta, and some of it could be down to their own personal decision making. Something mm-hmm. that manager can't do anything, but. The stats are pretty bad looking.
Yeah.
Like you can expect maybe one or two red cards, but it just happens quite frequently with Arsenal, and especially with Granit Xhaka, where he has that moment where he just goes in two-footed with a challenge, and nowadays it's a red card. And for him too, I think his perception also drives the drives the decision.
Yeah,
like.
I wish he
got the ball, but he went in two-footed, and if it was another player, maybe he would get away with it. But
yeah, like if it was Fernandes, he would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, Fernandes or even Pogba, like he would have got away with it. So
any United player, I know you'll say that, but I don't know about Paul Pogba, but Fernandes, yeah, I have a vendetta against him. I'll say it.
but yeah, like it was slightly harsh, but. With current rules was a red card, and it did not matter in the end anyway, because we would have lost that game even though Granit Xhaka was on the pitch or not. So
yeah,
it doesn't feel that bad. Only thing is that we will miss him for the next three games, which are more important. So
we'll also miss Reece James. I think we forgot to say that. Yeah.
Games, right?
But yeah, so who will play now instead of him in your center? You needed center midfielder anyways. Like in the transfer
Thomas
window.
Partey might be back for Norwich City on the weekend, but not sure if he will start right away because he's been out for I think 4 weeks. It's expected that it'll be Sambi Lokonga and Ainsley Maitland-Niles or
Maitland-Niles after his Instagram story will be back.
Yeah, he's...
He bullied his way into the team.
With the recent state of things, it looks like he will get minutes in central midfield.
Arsenal, I don't know what... I tweeted this also. It's not even fun to make fun of Arsenal now these days. It's like, what's happening?
There are a lot of things going on. I think Arteta had a tough job to take on as his first managerial job, and when he came on there were other issues surrounding transfers, and our director of football who was let go last year, Raul Sanyehi, in the middle of the transfer window and did some dodgy deals, and
on the outside he's a writer, his comments seemed weird. Like what, I don't know if you read what he said recently about the I think supporting Arteta and what's going on at the club. Like it didn't look like he had any idea of what the reality is.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, it's a longer discussion, but it's like for manager, I think for Arteta, what he will want is to have results right now. What a technical director would want is maybe the vision and setting up for the future. So. We are going with the vision of youth and signing players who are under like 24, 25, like all the players, every player that we sign this window is below 23. But for a young manager like Arteta to work with a team this young, it puts additional pressure on him because he wants results in the short term as well, even though like you need that long-term vision, but
For a club like Arsenal, especially, At least right now, you don't have any of that. It seems like, at least from the outside, that there's no such player for like short-term growth.
Yeah.
At so least get one or yeah, something.
Yeah, and I think that's where the difference is between Edu and Arteta, where Arteta is probably like thinking that he needs players who can deliver now on the pitch. And for Edu, it's more like rebuilding from the ground up and setting us up for the future. And so they're like two different things, but for Arteta, he has to deliver results, and that's where he will be judged on. I don't think he'll get indefinite time, although club has backed him quite a lot this window, and Martin Odegaard was his player. Or
I was just reading Edu's comment. So Edu said this, right? I don't want to be... he was asked what position in the table you are looking forward to aiming for, or he said, I don't want to go for that kind of numbers, top 4, top 6, top 8, top 10. And then some supporter said, yeah, this guy is definitely trying to win the championship next season.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the situation we are in. And for fans, I think it's it takes a lot of time to realize that we are sort of like, we are not where we want to be. And
yeah,
We can't call ourselves like a top 4 competing team, not even top 6 right now.
Yeah, Leicester look ahead of it. West Ham.
So maybe like top 8 would be where we stand. And with the squad we have, I think we could maybe go for top 6, at least with a better manager or with a good manager. If things click for Arteta, maybe we can move up. But we have talent, but we don't have players who are like in form right now or who can deliver.
I was reading that someone said this, and I think I agree that for clubs as big as Arsenal or historically big, like, it's easy to bounce back if you make some decisions right. I think so. There was news of Antonio Conte maybe. So if you get him, that could be good news. He could immediately turn things around, because Arsenal are a big club, and maybe a manager like Conte or another good manager can attract more good players.
And yeah, that's, I mean,
he has the, like, I'll say audacity. He'll have the audacity to tell Edu or someone that he wants this.
Right, but it's also interesting that a manager like Conte may not be willing to come to Arsenal just because the state we're in. Like, these managers,
you're stuck
like,
in
Conte
a cycle.
Wants to win the league next season, right? Like, he's not going to come in and say, like, okay, 4 years later, maybe we can challenge for the title. He's not going to be agreeing for that job. He would want players who are in their prime. And now with the vision that we are going in with, I doubt we get any top level manager to turn things around.
Yeah, it'll be hard.
Putting like a lot of faith in Arteta and hoping it works. Another good thing with signing young players is that maybe another manager who is young or want to work with a young squad can also benefit from the players we have signed, because you can mold these players into different positions or different philosophies quite easily than players who are in their prime. So if we had signed all like 27, 28 year old, and then we get someone like Conte in, he may want to like move some players out just because they don't fit his philosophy and things. So it's just it's in shambles right now, what's happening in the club. And with the vision that we're going towards too, I think it has changed this window, so we'll have to wait for few more windows to see how that is going. Because before, like last season, we were signing players like Willian, David Luiz, who were made for like results now approach, but now we're going for more sort of like a long-term approach. But short-term results are pretty bad, and we're bottom of the table. And
but that's another thing. Even with those two signings, I don't think it was as results now as people think. Like, they were still coming towards the end of their career. They were not like 28, 29 year old.
Partey was signing like that, but other than him, I don't think we have signed anyone in their like real prime recently.
Yeah, I think Aubameyang, that was a good signing. It worked for the first, and then he looked at the state of Arsenal. I think even he looks like he has given up whenever I see him play.
Yeah, he's struggling, but I think that's more down to the overall team's performance. Like, yeah, for a player like him, he needs chances, like something like Chelsea has now with Lukaku, where they were creating chances. Werner was somehow like was not putting it in the back of the net. So that's sort of like easier problem to solve because you just replace the striker and you have all the system that supports your striker. But with Arsenal, the problem is that we have someone who can put it in the back of the net, but we don't have the system that is a more deeper problem to work
maybe
with.
It is, I don't know, Arteta maybe is a good manager, maybe he's not, who knows. But you need to change the manager, change the players, lot of issues.
Right, yeah, we don't create many chances, and defensively last season we looked solid under Arteta. I mean, not look solid, I guess we still didn't look solid, but at least on paper we were like the
wasn't there a record of, yeah, that you didn't lose for a while, or was it didn't concede or didn't lose something
didn't
like
lose
that
after
for a long time,
like towards the end of the season we had pretty good run, and we were I think third or second in the table if you just look at from January onward. So Arteta did have us like play reasonably well, I guess, like in that period of time, but now he has seemed to have gone backward in a way where like we're not creating chances, player they don't look that happy, and it's just the results business. I think when team is not winning, everything goes against you, or like that's the impression that you get from players and everyone. So we need to desperately start winning games, and the game against Norwich City,
surely you'll
like
be
6 points now.
Surely Arsenal is going to win that game, right?
Yes, but yeah, if we don't win it, then I can see like pressure just being too much on Arteta to handle. And
is it away or you're playing at home?
I have no idea. It's on Saturday. But yeah, like it's a must-win game. Like we can't lose that game, and it's
I have no idea. This is all Arsenal fans right now. Okay, you're playing at home against Norwich. Yeah.
So, like any other season, we would be saying like game against Norwich is like like a routine game, usual game, not a big game. But
yeah,
like now we have to call it as a big game and a game that we have to win. There is no other reason. Like even a draw, I think will will not be a good result. And
especially based on how like Norwich have not performed. I mean, they are looks like Norwich have not learned from their last time they were in Premier League. They are still going for the same attacking mentality without really trying to shore up the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So Arsenal, definitely are in pressure to win this game.
Right, and another point I wanted to make was like losing games and the way you lose it is also very important. Like when Xhaka was sent off, he played with 10 men.
Yeah, it's not
like we surrendered the game and Man City.
Yeah, you could see the contrast between them and Chelsea with 10 men.
Right, so Chelsea showed like, you know, it can be done even against 10 men. If you have a good organization within the team and you have a good plan or a good system, it can still work, but we just folded. And like Wolves have same number of points as us, like they have 0 points too, but you can see them doing well this season just because they're creating chances, they're getting unlucky. Jimenez is not in good form, and
Jimenez
like, he tries a lot, but he does
he's
not
still
have
recovering
that
I feel
like
from his injury, I think will take a long time.
So they have same number of points as us, but they're playing much better football. And if we had lost all of our games in that manner, like the way Wolves lost, then we would be complaining or having that conversation about Arteta. We would be saying like, we just need, I mean, we had tough games, but we played well. We'll take the loss. That's fine.
Yeah, but you mentioned Wolves. Actually, we should mention them. They're playing really good football. It's unfortunate for them that they've not got any point, but they are playing very well.
Against United.
Adama Traore was unplayable. I think that should have been a foul, what Pogba did when they scored.
Yes.
But of course, they didn't get it. So,
There was foul, and then there was a brilliant save by De Gea.
Oh, yeah, that double save. Goals. That was a really good save. De Gea's save was. But yeah, man, Greenwood scored, and he was not in my fantasy team. So I was extra annoyed at that. And also, I took out Gundogan and he scored.
Oh, yeah. Like, against Arsenal, surprisingly, players who don't have any height, like Gundogan.
Oh, yeah, Gundogan scoring header. That was weird.
Headers, and yeah, I was just like, defensively, so I feel like the system-wise, it's not working. Like, you could argue that, you know, we have our best players missing and players coming back, new transfer and whatnot, but just as a system, it's not working at all. And Arteta does not have much time to turn things around, and hopefully this weekend we get a convincing win and put things back on track and move, like, start to move up in the table, which I believe will be very difficult. But at the same time, we should understand that we are like top 8 team, and you know, 3 losses is pretty common, pretty normal for clubs at that in that region. Yes,
yeah, it's not
good to say that, but that's the reality now.
Yeah. Any other big games happening? So I think let's spare Arsenal some misery, more misery, and move on to other games. Manchester United are playing Newcastle United.
Leicester versus Man City would be an interesting one.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Even Chelsea-Aston Villa.
Chelsea-Aston Villa also will be interesting. Aston Villa also are struggling right now, but we have this tendency to always give struggling teams. We didn't give it to Arsenal, which I was happy about. But usually, yeah.
I mean, we are struggling very badly. We are like struggling squared. So.
But yeah, so I'm worried about this game, Aston Villa, since they have not been on form yet. Maybe this is the game when they decide to play, get something. But I believe we can get a result here. And also because some of our players will be tired from international games. So
yeah, Lukaku played and scored,
and also he got injured a little bit, so he might not play.
Wow, okay, that's so good to know. I have him in my fantasy team. I'd have to reconsider.
Yeah, that's the thing. So all these factors could come into account, but maybe it would give some other players an opportunity. We have quite a few players who need chances. So let's see what happens. Leicester, Man City. I know this will be a good game, but I think Manchester City will win this game. I
that was pretty quick. But yeah, Manchester City are playing pretty well at the moment. They lost against Spurs on the opening weekend, but
yeah,
since then they have been scoring freely, and Jack Grealish looks like part of their system now. He played well against Arsenal, and also the game before.
Gabriel Jesus is playing well in the wings.
Oh, like, yeah, he's playing as a right winger, and they're playing Ferran Torres as their
creating assists
striker. And yeah, so I mean, just the depth that they have is incredible, and I think like this season will be pretty tight at the top. So I don't think there is time for any team to relax and
take their foot
off the pedal.
Yeah, it feels like the big team games amongst themselves will be the title deciding games.
Right.
Like Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City, Manchester United, Chelsea.
Yeah.
So
who are Manchester United playing against?
Newcastle. So Newcastle.
Okay. Come on. Joe Willock.
Nothing, man. I think Manchester United will win this game. Ronaldo will make his debut and score a hat-trick.
Yeah, that'll be like a thing to look forward to in that game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. I should not say this, but
that great against Wolves, though. No, they
didn't.
Varane was not. I mean, he did okay, but they didn't.
Varane
give
was
him
the
some
man of the match. I think he got an assist.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I was happy to see that Adama Traore was bullying all of them.
Like, yeah.
If only he had good finishing, he could have, Wolves could have easily won that game. They were the better team in that
game.
Yeah,
they should have at least got a draw in that game. And the goal at the end, like, we were talking about that on WhatsApp, saying, like, you know, Man United somehow will get a goal, and
this makes me worried, because this is the sign, like we say with other teams also, like title winning teams have this sort of quality to win these type of games. So
But it seemed to happen quite a lot with Manchester United, just to put that in there.
Of course, you'll put that. But, talking of Newcastle, I think another player, I am surprised that he has not moved to other teams, like upper level teams. Like, I always enjoy watching Saint-Maximin play. Like, he's the one player.
Yeah.
Even though Newcastle look like they are the relegation contenders, but he just looks a class above. And he seems like he has...
five-star skills?
Yeah, five-star skills. He has everything that Traore has, but also has finishing in him.
Yeah.
He's like at Saint-Maximin. So
yeah, he's a treat to watch. And,
yeah.
Even last season, I think he was pretty good. Like,
yeah.
If you want to watch Newcastle, like, all of your eyes will be on him.
Him,
like,
yeah,
see
exactly.
What he does and
yeah.
The number of skills and things that he does are
he's like what's the term for it?
Showboating.
Showboating, but also like unpredictable player.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I like
they're
that.
Sort of like mystery players or
yeah, like you don't
know.
I feel like old like some years ago Premier League had more of these players, but like even Ronaldo was that player before, but
yeah.
now we see less of them. Like Saint-Maximin.
Yeah, nowadays I think like the football has become more structured or like
yeah.
more organized. Like you have
like
to be in certain zones and
yeah.
Squares on the pitch to receive the ball and
triangles.
Has more become more of a passing game than like individual brilliance.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are still few players who
can you think
just
of
like
any other?
Dribble.
So Saint-Maximin is the only player that comes to mind
in like right now who drive. On
like
player,
who has this sort of quality? Yeah, Traore
and
Saint
Maximin. Always like tries to drive.
Yeah.
With the ball and just tries to go past everyone, I guess.
Yeah.
But
his main attribute is the pace, right?
Yeah.
Saint Maximin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Five-star skills, like you said. But I'm trying to think, like, who could it be? So
yeah, I think Nicolas Pepe at Arsenal does that, but he's not good. But he's the one who likes to carry the ball.
Okay,
or like
okay, yeah.
He's like he's not thinking about passing when he receives the ball. His thing is like he wants to take on like all defenders, which doesn't work all the time.
Saint-Maximin is better than him, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean,
okay,
on
yeah.
current form, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Finishing wise, I think Pepe is better.
Really,
but
I
if
feel
you
like
dribbling wise.
I feel like even finishing Saint-Maximin is. I'm trying to think who else is like him. This is a good topic that we stumbled on. But maybe lower league teams have more of these players, or lower position teams.
The Wolves had this another guy.
Oh
was like
yeah,
on
Trincao.
Loan from
Trincao.
Trincao. Yeah,
he was really good.
He was doing some of that
Podence,
against
yeah.
United, and he was able to get away with the balls.
Yeah.
on few occasions.
Wolves, yeah, man, they should have got some result on it. I feel for their manager.
Sterling used to do that for Liverpool quite a lot.
For Liverpool,
under
yeah.
Brendan Rodgers, but not anymore. He's more
yeah.
sort of like.
I think Suarez was that type of
for,
player. More,
yeah.
more even more than Sterling. I feel like he was,
yeah,
scoring goals like from weird angles.
Yeah.
Who? Well, let's talk about overall then. Maybe we can't remember now, but who is your best player that you can remember in all of your foot? Premier League watching history that was like this, like a maverick player.
For me, for
favorite.
Arsenal, I think might be Alexis
or
Sanchez
anyone.
That I
okay.
remember that I watched
Arsenal.
Very closely. Like
okay.
he was that type of player where like he
mm-hmm.
would just take on defenders and try to go himself
okay.
and score a goal. And he was successful. He's pretty good. With
See,
us,
I don't
like
even count Hazard in that. Hazard was a very skilled player, but he was not. He's not that type of a player. Like, He looks more structured. Like
mm-hmm.
I feel he has 4-star skills like FIFA. But Saint-Maximin is a very different. Like, yeah,
he was skillful on the ball. So being skillful and doing like you know, players are good. Like Messi, for example, right? Like
Messi also, I won't consider
he
in that
do
category.
Skills,
yeah.
But he's just good at dribbling.
Messi and Hazard,
like
I would
can
be put in the same category.
They use more of body feints or
yeah.
like change the direction
yeah.
so quickly that defender is fooled, but they don't like. Do tricks.
Yeah,
like,
and that's the good quality
I
about
think,
them. You know
the
what
Man
they're
City
going to do.
Had this guy like Robinho, I think, who
Robinho,
was like, I mean, he was a B-Tech, I guess.
Yeah. In that like sense, Ronaldinho, right? Ronaldinho is the best is like example the of that.
Example yeah. Of that. Of
but in like Premier League, I'm trying to think skills. Like maybe Ronaldo was the one, but yeah, other Ronaldo than that,
was the one, but not anymore.
So there were. I have not seen him play, but from what I heard, Gianfranco Zola, who played for Chelsea, was like him, but I can't say his name. From what
yeah,
I've seen,
yeah, we should think about just like maybe 5-star skillers.
Yeah,
in the Premier League,
like so in all of history,
Rashford, I think has 5-star skills, but he's not like on the pitch. He
doesn't. Yeah,
he's not at that level. I think.
Yeah, this I'm blanking out, man. Who could have been
skillers.
That player?
Can you maybe just like filter on Footbin, not trying to endorse the app.
But that would just be this season, right? I'm talking about all time.
Oh, yeah. All time is difficult. Yep.
So you said your favorite was Sanchez though, right?
For Arsenal, yes. Like, and from what I've seen, yeah.
I don't think from what I've been watching. Oh, maybe, yeah. But I even then, I have not seen enough of Robin. Like, he left Chelsea when I started fully being
we
interested.
Have Riyad Mahrez actually. Riyad Mahrez used to do some good things at Leicester.
Riyad Mahrez could be the one. Yeah, actually.
It has Wilfried Zaha as well. Sometimes
Wilfried Zaha actually,
good.
Yes,
yeah,
I would
like
put him, but he struggled with the same thing. He could have.
He's not consistent enough. I think some days he's like,
yeah,
he can pull off any trick. And
Wilfried Zaha is that of a player. Yeah, you're right. Zaha.
Yeah, I've seen Thiago as well at Liverpool doing a few skills, but he's not doing it all the time.
Yeah,
but
and he just joined, so I would not
pull it off, but
yeah,
not on a consistent basis. To
and I mean, I'm trying to think of what other players like we have seen. I guess on top, for like of all time, I guess Ronaldo would be the one, at least from what we have seen. It could be others before him.
Yeah. And in the Premier League, there are not many 5-star skillers. I think it's Shaqiri is in this list as well. Oh, Yannick Bolasie was the one. If I remember, Bolasie used to...
Yeah.
To
he used
a
to
lot
give
of
us
fun
points
on
in.
The wings, but...
yeah,
he was also like consistency. He's
yeah.
with consistency, but he could pull off tricks and
some, yeah.
things. Yeah.
If I really have to put, I would put... Hazard from what I've seen, I think right now maybe even Ronaldo will not do what Saint-Maximin does. He's more of a poacher now, but Saint-Maximin would be that player right now. I think he's the best one of all those
like
that I really
skills.
Enjoy
yeah
I enjoy watching him.
Okay, cool. Hopefully he does his or brings his A game against United and
yeah
gets amongst goals and assists.
So that was that. Any other games
to look forward to now? I think
Leeds are playing Liverpool. I remember last season, the starting game of the season, there was a goal fest. 4-3, I think, was the score.
Yeah.
But Liverpool will win this game, I think.
Liverpool are in a good form. Like I was telling you that as well. Like, you know, people are sleeping on Liverpool.
Yeah, their first team, we talked about it. Like,
yeah.
Their first team it can compete with still like anyone in the Premier League. So
right. And they've started season pretty strongly. Salah
yeah.
is in good form. Mane got a goal as well, I think.
Yeah.
Last weekend. And Diogo Jota is continuing his good form as well. And yeah, things look settled at Liverpool, I guess, even though they haven't done too much of transfer business.
Yeah. I think maybe Firmino is not that type of player. I'm still stuck on that.
Oh,
sometimes he does things that...
Yeah, he does it sometimes, but he's not doing it all the time.
Yeah,
like, he's usually like that hold-up player for them, like just
CDM.
Hold the ball until... just hold the ball until he sees the runners or track a run and hold it until... the runner is in, then
yeah. I mean, maybe next week we can think of more players and try to come up with a list when we do it.
Yeah.
I am very interested in this topic now.
Odegaard has 5-star skills though, but
okay,
he has
down.
Not shown enough.
Yeah, please calm down. Oh, another thing that's happening is Champions League is returning next week. also.
The group stage games.
Yeah, group stage games. So we can talk a little bit before we finish. We can talk about the groups in the Champions League. That draw happened recently. Yeah. So,
group of death.
Yeah. So, PSG and Man City. Of course, they are in.
I mean, their group is slightly tricky because they have RB Leipzig.
But Leipzig are not like.
They're losing players though.
They lost their manager also.
Sabitzer.
To Bayern Munich. They lost manager.
And they don't have Werner either.
Bayern Munich just. They are like Man City and PSG, like oil, drillers. They just drill talent out of other teams.
Yeah, I think.
Suck it out of them.
Yeah, Man United used to do that a lot.
Yeah.
Back in the days when there's a good player in the Premier League. He'll just move to United.
And these days, Man City almost are there, but thankfully there are other rich clubs also. So they could have easily gotten Harry Kane also recently.
Man City. Yeah, they were pretty close to signing him.
Yeah. So yeah, Man City, PSG, Leipzig, and Club Brugge. But yeah, based on all of our knowledge, PSG and Man City will easily qualify from this group. PSG against Man City will be a good game to watch.
PSG has to qualify.
They have to win
the window they had.
Maybe Pochettino, will cause some revenge on Man City. No, wait. They beat Man City, so they don't have to do anything. Pochettino has already beaten Man City with Spurs, right? In the Champions League semi-final.
Yeah. That is correct.
Or quarter-final, one of those. So group B is Atletico, Porto, Liverpool and Milan. Atletico once again have they had a good window. they
got Griezmann back.
They sold Griezmann for more money than they got him back for.
That's a good business by them, and
they have Suarez also.
Business for Barcelona.
Yeah, Barcelona are I've heard English people say in the mud.
Yeah.
But Atletico and Liverpool should qualify from this group, right? I think this could be an interesting group though.
Porto has done pretty well last season.
Yeah.
And Milan traditionally has been like a Champions League team, but now I think
they qualified after a long time.
After a long time, right? Yeah. They may have some X factor going in for them, but I think Liverpool and Atletico just
should
so good in the Champions League group stages in recent years that I think they will definitely go through.
Yeah. And then Group C has Ajax, Besiktas, Dortmund and Sporting.
Dortmund, Ajax.
I don't know about other. I'm still stuck in Ajax from the time they reached the semi-final, I think. I don't know how.
Yeah, they're not the same club anymore because they lost so many players from that team.
Maybe in Eredivisie, they are still Eredivisie. They're still a good team, but I don't know how they have performed recently.
But yeah, I think with the clubs they have in that group, I feel like Ajax
they should qualify.
Have a chance.
Yeah. And then moving on to Group D, it's Inter, Real Madrid, Shakhtar and Sheriff. Their logo is also that of a sheriff. Sheriff is a Moldovan club. Are they qualifying for the first? No, Moldova.
Okay. Wow.
Are they qualifying for the first time? This would be a good. Yeah. Because recently I have not seen them, right? So maybe.
No, I have not heard about them as yet.
But yeah, so from this group, Inter and Real Madrid, even though Inter lost Conte and Lukaku. Think they should still be strong enough.
Yeah.
They should be. They should finish. I think Real Madrid are also struggling, so but they have Ancelotti who has good Champions League experience.
Yeah, and also I don't think when was the last time Real Madrid was
out in the group stage.
Qualify, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember them crashing out of the group stages and
Man, talking of Real Madrid, it's still so mind-blowing to me that they won Champions League 3 years in a row, under Zidane. that was a really great achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen at all. Winning it twice is big enough. Group E has Barcelona, Munich, Bayern Munich, Dynamo Kiev, and Benfica. Barcelona will finish last in this group then.
Barcelona, it's so weird to see Barcelona without Messi.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know like how to judge them because we haven't seen a lot. I think Depay is scoring goals. But
Depay is in form, yeah.
I'm not sure like how they're going to do this season. I think it'll be interesting to watch what they're doing.
I think though their new, I don't know if he's a director or president. Yeah, their new president is trying to resolve things.
Yeah.
I know getting rid of Messi was a big decision, but maybe it will help them out in the future. At least they're trying to solve the mess they were in.
A few things. I think they sold Griezmann again. Not sure what they're doing, but I think in the short term they will be struggling.
Yeah, and Bayern Munich will. They should basically just win all the games in this group. That's what I feel like. And then Group F has your favorite team, Manchester United, Villarreal, Atlanta, and BSC Young Boys. United, they should top this group.
There is interesting Europa League.
Oh, Villarreal, who beat United. Yeah. But so they have got a player who has a Champions League winning experience, Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, United this season, we talked about already, like they are expected to win something.
Even before signing Ronaldo, they should have. Yeah.
And then with Ronaldo, it's like a must for them to.
And Varane also.
To win
another
something.
Yeah.
And in the league, I think they will struggle to win.
I hope
league.
They do. Yes.
So Champions League might be what they would be looking at to win or like start winning, I guess.
Yeah. So, and then Group G is Sevilla, Wolfsburg, Lille, and Salzburg.
So this one is sort of like
group of death for these clubs.
Underdogs, group of underdogs, like all good underdogs.
Yeah, Sevilla, man, Sevilla should. I think they'll top this group, but they have. But the manager who won a lot of things with Sevilla, he went to Villarreal, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And also, this is Haaland's old club playing in this group, Salzburg. Can't believe when he came from Salzburg, right?
Yeah.
And went on. He's still scoring goals for fun. I don't know who. I don't know about this group at all. I don't follow these teams enough to know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, right? It's like all underdogs.
Yeah, one thing you can say is Lille are the current champions of Liga. So
yeah,
they have.
Have they lost any player? Lille. Maybe not, right?
Because So
I think they may or they should qualify, I guess. So
yeah.
I would put like them and Sevilla.
Them and Sevilla, okay. Yeah, I think that would be my guess also. Group H, it's Chelsea, Juventus, Zenit, and Malmo.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be Chelsea and Juventus. Other.
Yeah, Chelsea, yeah, I'm expecting us to at least go far. Current champions, come on. Juventus have lost Cristiano Ronaldo, their top scorer in Serie A last season. But maybe that will open up a lot of other players, you know, because I know Dybala was sometimes struggling to get chances there. They have some really good players. Chiesa is a guy I like watching him in Euros.
Yeah.
Also, he was fun to watch. And Zenit are playing, I think the final this year is happening in Zenit Stadium in Russia, if I remember correctly. So they'll have some extra motivation. We don't know. So that was the Champions League draw. You won your game against the Conference League qualification game, right? You won against West Brom 6-0.
No, I mean, we won against West Brom in the League Cup.
Oh, that was
not
League
even
Cup.
In the Conference League.
Why did I think West Brom was in the... I thought West Brom was... Why did I think that? Okay. No, yeah.
No, Spurs won the Conference League qualification game.
Oh, yeah.
In which Harry Kane scored. And yes, we are not in the Conference League, which could be a good thing.
Yeah, focus on one thing when there are problems. One. Yeah. But I don't want to talk about that. I don't. But yeah, so out of the first few Champions League games, I think the first week, Inter Real Madrid could be exciting. And then who else is? Inter Real Madrid and Barcelona Bayern Munich. So that was that. Did you hear any other interesting news that we can talk about?
No, I mean, the transfer window is closed now, and would you change any of your predictions since the window is closed and teams are
my prediction was
locked in until January?
Yeah, so let me remember. So my prediction was Man City, Chelsea, Manchester United and Liverpool.
Yeah.
I would still keep it the same.
Okay.
I'm biased toward, I know Manchester United can, I'll be biased. Chelsea second, come on. We can win also, let's win the league. No. What's your, are you changing your prediction?
No, I think I'll keep the same. Only big transfer happened in those clubs.
So what was your prediction? Clubs.
Mine was Man City, Liverpool, Chelsea and then United.
Oh, you put United in fourth at least. Not good.
Yeah. With Ronaldo there might affect it, but I don't think it will to that extent that they'll overcome Liverpool.
It'll be interesting.
But it solidifies their top four position, I think.
Okay, so yeah, but that, another good thing is at least that we have quite a few weekend of Premier League games now back. No international break, so that's always a good news. And it's time, I think, over the next few days, I'll think about my fantasy team. See what's happening.
Yeah, you have 2 days, not many days.
Is there a game on Friday this week?
Probably not, I think.
Yeah, it would be too much for players.
Like, yeah, there was an international break, and I don't think.
It's Saturday.
On Friday.
Okay. Crystal Palace, Tottenham. Oh, wait, was there a time change? It's happening at 6:30 a.m. now. Maybe there was some. Anyways, I hope Crystal Palace beat Tottenham. I can't stand watching Spurs lead the table for long. Please. So that's it, right?
Yep.
It was a good chat. Good chat today. Thanks for joining, Akshay. Thanks for listening, everyone. Before we go, the usual, where can people find us? Please. Carry on.
People can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube with two substitutes.
YouTube, I don't know if we still publish there, but sure, why not? Find us. Find our old episodes there.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Two substitutes, two with the number.
Yes.
Not the word.
And I think, so I found out why our podcast was not easily reachable on Spotify. I still blame Spotify for it. It's number easily searchable on Google Podcasts and other iTunes. But for some reason, Spotify said it has to be popular enough to be top of the list.
Oh, but okay.
That doesn't make any sense to me because other podcasts are able to find the name easily. So,
yeah.
It's their search algorithm.
Maybe the search doesn't support digits first.
That's weird. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Have a good week and enjoy your Premier League games.
An introduction for the two substitutes as they combine to get Chelsea.